The miracle that took place when Peter and John went up to pray and they met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. And this is the miracle that we see. And the people are saying, what just happened? What just happened? And so we come today for more of this story in Acts chapter 3 and verse 11. And as we begin to look at this passage, so I'm excited about, I read part of it to you, but we'll look at more as we go through. I think back to 2024. You have to think back a long time, back to like Tuesday, right? Maybe 2024 was a great year for you. Maybe it was a great year. Maybe great things happened. Maybe it's a year you'd like to forget. But I can tell you this, better days are coming. Better days are coming. And that's the title of my message this morning. Better days are coming. If I get my clicker clicking, better days are coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you change lives. You're doing this amazing work in the hearts of people. We want that work. We want your work to be done in us. We see this man, Lord, who was begging, and the name of Jesus comes into his life, and he believes, and he is healed, and his life then makes a difference in others' lives. We want to be like that. So, Father, we look forward to better days ahead, and you may take us through trials. You may take us through hard things, suffering even in this new year. But we know that better days are coming because your Son is coming, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So this story, as we will look at it today, what I see here is four things, and I've got this one statement that I think will work throughout this passage as we go through it, and here it is. A changed life opens the door for the gospel that guilty lives may be saved. So let me say that again, and you're going to hear it, and you're going to see it up on the screen. A changed life opens the door for the gospel that guilty lives may be saved. And that's what we're going to see here because, well, number one, we'll dive into it here. A changed life. Look at with me, verse 11, while he clung to Peter and John. This is the man that had been paralyzed, that had been sitting by the beautiful gate, and his life was not beautiful. He had to be carried there and placed there and beg for people to give him anything. And he's by the beautiful gate, and Peter stops, and John, they stop, and he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He takes him by the hand, and this man stands up. He was over 40 years old, so, you know, a pretty young guy, as I think of it. And he can now walk, stand. He's never stood before, and he is running, and he is leaping, because when God does a work, he does a full work in your life. And so here's this man, and his life is changed. And he's clinging to Peter and John, I imagine. He's hugging them. He's saying, oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for believing. Thank you for helping me. And all the people, utterly astounded if I could talk like the teenagers today, because I have a teenager. Here's what the people said. Wait, what? Because that's what the kids say today, right? Wait, what? By the way, if you think you're quoting teenagers, you're probably already out of tune. Right? That was what they said 5 years ago. So, but the people are utterly astounded. They ran together. I mean, can you imagine this scene? The people knew who this was. He's over 40 years old. He's laid there. People carry him and lay him there every day, day after day after day, he is there. And now he comes in to the temple, and he has this joy and this vibrance, and he's leaping. Nobody else is doing that. They're walking in for the prayer time at the temple. This man comes jumping in. He's so excited. And so the crowd is astounded, and they come together to the portico called Solomon's. So I don't know if you know what a portico is, but I found a picture. This is an artist rendering of what the temple, I think we forget how big the temple was. It was a very large structure. It's not there. It got destroyed in AD 70 when the Romans came in and destroyed Jerusalem. So Solomon's temple, it's not there. But this temple was there, and that's what a portico is. It's a covered porch with pillars. And so you can imagine that they were, this is where they run into, and they're all amazed. What? How can this be? What has happened? And so this man has changed life. God has changed his life through Jesus' name. And his changed life does what? A changed life opens doors for the gospel. And so Peter takes this opportunity to tell all those people who are seeing this, to tell them the gospel. Verse 12, when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, these are God's chosen people. Why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety, our godliness, we have made him walk?" And here's another reference. This is the fourth reference to this man walking, because he'd been crippled, paralyzed, however you want to say it. And now he says he walks. He's walking. And we didn't do it. Don't look at us. Don't give us the praise. God is pointing you to Jesus. Don't look at us. Look to him. That's the message that Peter has. This man's life is changed by the power of Jesus. And so Peter is going to tell people, look to Jesus. Look not to us. We're just the messengers. Look to him. And then he gets specific. Verse 13, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers." We have this common heritage, he says. "And this God has glorified his servant, Jesus." And I think that's intentional that he refers to Jesus as God's servant. God's servant. That's Isaiah kind of language. And you'll see that throughout this passage that Peter references the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And we know that Isaiah spoke about the servant of God that would come. In Isaiah 52, 13, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up. He will be glorified." And so in that Old Testament passage, it's the same word here in the New Testament, that God took his servant and glorified him. He has exalted him. How did he glorify him? Well, first on the cross. He was lifted up on the cross. And then he was in the grave and God raised him from the dead. And he has brought him into heaven. He has ascended. He is exalted in heaven. Jesus is glorified. He was the servant who came, who bore our stripes and the wounds that were upon him were for our healing. His death was for our life. He died as a servant, but now he is highly exalted. Peter is hinting towards that right here when he says, "God has glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you, by contrast, you delivered over." But that's Isaiah 53. That's what Isaiah 53 says. He was delivered for our transgressions. He was handed over for our sins. "You delivered him over and denied him in the presence of Pilate when Pilate had decided to release him." You know, Pilate, the governor of Jerusalem, when they brought Jesus before him and accused him, Pilate tried to release Jesus three times. says, I don't see anything wrong with this man. This man has done nothing wrong. He wants to release him. But the people refused. The people said, no, give us Barabbas. We want the murderer and the insurrectionist. Well, what about Jesus? Crucify him. And many of those people were here seeing this man who has been healed. Peter says, you denied him in the presence of Pilate. In a sense, Pilate is not as guilty as you are. Pilate tried to release Jesus. You demanded he be crucified. So Peter is, he's right here, he's told them the gospel. That Jesus died and rose again. That God raised him from the dead. That's the gospel. Jesus died and he rose again. That's the good news. He died in our place. He died for our sins, but he is risen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus came and died on a cross for your sins, but that he's not dead? He was raised and he lives in heaven to be your Lord and your Savior, to pray for you, to be with you and never leave you. Do you believe that? This is what Peter, the door for the gospel has been opened because this man, his life was changed. So next, guilty lives. We see in verse 14, Pilate tried to release him, but you, it's emphatic in the Greek, that you comes first, but you denied the Holy and Righteous One. The Holy and Righteous One. Guess what? More references to Isaiah. Because in Isaiah 43:15, Jehovah says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And then in Isaiah 24:16, from the ends of the earth, we hear songs of praise, of glory to the Righteous One. Who is the Holy One and the Righteous One? God, the Lord. And here, Peter says, that Holy and Righteous One came and dwelt among us, and you killed him. You demanded his death, and in fact, you asked for a murderer to be granted to you. You asked for a murderer to be released, and then you became murderers yourselves. The Holy One, the Righteous One, you condemned. Or verse 15, you killed the author of life. Just think about that phrase right there. You killed the author of life. The one who created life and began life, the one who is the source of all life, is Jesus. The author of life. If you can read this and say, well, Jesus wasn't really God, then you're missing what the Bible is about, what the New Testament is about. He says, the Holy One from Isaiah, the Righteous One from Isaiah, the author of life, that's Jesus. And here, the guilty ones are told of their guilt. You killed the author of life. But what God did was raise him from the dead. You killed him. That's not that hard to do. It's not really hard to kill a person. But to raise them from the dead cannot happen. That's impossible. And yet here, Peter says, you are guilty. You're guilty. You rejected Jesus and had a hand in even ending his life. But God is greater than you. God is greater than you. He is greater than your sin. He raised him to life, raised him from the dead. To this, we are witnesses. They were eyewitnesses, these apostles. They had seen Jesus alive. They knew, they had breakfast with him. They spent over a month with him. And they're his witnesses, his eyewitnesses, giving testimony that Jesus is, he is real, he is alive. And though you are guilty, Jesus is alive, and we're witnesses to that. We're here to bring the good news. Verse 16. And his name, I have this in bold in my notes, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. By faith in his name. By believing that Jesus is alive, that he is who God said he is. By faith in his name, this man has been healed. He's been given perfect health, complete wholeness in the presence of you all. This man that you see and know. I mentioned this last week. This was someone that they knew. They knew his name. They felt bad for him, I'm sure. He's miserable in his life. He's begging. They knew him. This wasn't someone that came along with the apostles and maybe they said, hey, you pretend to be lame and then we'll pretend to heal you, okay? I know Michelle would be shaking her head if she knew what I was thinking, but when I was in college, there were times in the Christian college dorm. Listen, we lived out in the boonies. Our college was way out. We were 25 minutes from Walmart. There wasn't even a Walmart. Shopko. It's Shopko. We were 25 minutes from civilization. A beautiful campus, but we were out there on our own. And during the year, high school students would come to visit to get an idea of what the college would be like, what it would be like to go to Bible college. And so here would be three or four of us guys in a dorm room, and we would have the privilege of welcoming a visitor for the weekend. And there were times that one of us would pretend to be hearing impaired. And we'd say, okay, you pretend like you can't hear. And so we're shouting at our fellow roommate who could hear just fine. You know, we'd say, hey, do you see we got a visitor? And we would all do this, and they would just sort of and not talk for a day or two. And before long, the poor high school student would also begin yelling at this guy as though he was hearing impaired. Why do you do these things? It's just, you're bored, you need some kind of distraction. It's a little bit of hazing, I think. Oh, let the high school senior come in and we'll, you know, they think they're cool in their school, but they're on the lower rung here, you know. Anyway, we would do these kinds of things. The point of that story was just merely for entertainment for you this morning. This man was not an actor. He wasn't pretending to be disabled. He really was. And that's Peter's point. You know him. And now you have seen him day after day after day for years, and yet you see that his life is changed. That by the power of Christ, his life is changed. By faith in Jesus' name. Not by faith in an apostle. Not by faith in himself. Sometimes we see these movies and shows, if you just have faith, what does that even mean? Well, just have faith in yourself, in have faith in faith. That's not what saves a person. It's faith in Jesus, in his name. What's his name? His name represents all that he is. His name is who he is. It's his character. It's his person that you believe in. And we'll see in the next chapter, chapter 4, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. There's only one name above every name, the name of Jesus. By faith in Jesus' name, this man was immediately healed and began praising God. He went walking and leaping and praising God. To this point, the listeners had literally rejected Jesus. Those who were there in that covered porch with the columns, they had literally rejected Jesus, but that doesn't have to be the end of their story. And it doesn't have to be the end of your story. Because verse 17, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers." That would be the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the high priests, the priests that were there, they rejected Jesus. They had that false, illegal trial. It says, you acted in ignorance. You didn't know who he was. I mean, you should have known. You should have known. The blind could see. The deaf could hear. The dead were raised to life. You should have known that Jesus was who he said he was. But you didn't. You missed it. You were ignorant. I remember a few years ago when they were doing work on US 2 right around Brevoort. And so we were going west on US 2 and they had the road tore up. And so you had to go on this detour out through the countryside, out through the woods of Brevoort. And so I was just motoring along out through this wood detour through the woods. And in my rearview mirror, I see the blue lights flashing. I went, what? So I pulled over and the officer comes up and he says, do you know why I pulled you over? I had no idea. No. He said, you were speeding. And I said, well, what? Oh. He said, you were going 50 in a 25. And I said, I'm sorry. I didn't know the speed limit was 25 through here. And he says, would you like me to take you back and show you the sign that says 25 miles an hour? I said, no, sir. Okay. I didn't know it was 25. I still got a ticket. Because I said, I didn't know. Well, I should have been paying more attention. Probably people came off US 2 and were speeding through the little, it's not a town, it's not a village, it's just the woods, you know. But there are people who live there and they don't want people speeding on their roads and endangering their children. Yes, I get it. I just didn't see the sign. I was ignorant to the speed limit out there in the woods. But it didn't matter. I still got a ticket. Here, Peter says, you didn't know who Jesus was. And you get another chance. Now you see he's risen. We're telling you that. This man is raised to walk because Jesus is alive. You didn't realize it when you demanded his death. But you know what? In his death is the way God wants to save you, or that God will save you. It is because that Jesus died that you can be forgiven. It's this marvelous grace to sinners. Those with guilty lives are hearing the gospel that, yes, they are profoundly guilty. And yet, there's salvation offered to them. There is mercy available. Or we could say this, a changed life opens doors for the gospel that guilty lives may be saved. So verse 18. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, okay? This is common, a well-known theme in the Bible, emphasized over and over, that his Christ, earlier he called him his servant, here he is his Christ, would suffer. Do you know the Old Testament spoke of Jesus suffering? That he would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sins, Isaiah 53. He thus fulfilled. What God said would take place was fulfilled. God was sovereign. Jesus was going to die. Yet, you are responsible. It's a great mystery of the Bible that God is sovereign and human beings are accountable, responsible. They killed the author of life, and yet this was God's plan for our salvation, that Jesus would die for our sins. And God, in his grace, Jesus on the cross saying, forgive them, they know not what they do. And here is this gospel invitation. Get this in verse 19. So, therefore, repent. What does that mean to repent? He tells us in the next phrase, turn back to God. That explains what repent is. Repent means to turn back to God. You've gone away from God. Now turn back to him. Turn back. You had rejected God's servant, the Messiah, and killed the author of life. Now repent. Turn back. Embrace the Savior God sent to you. And what will happen when someone does that? What happens when someone turns away from sin and believes in Jesus as their Savior? What happens? It's amazing. It's still in verse 19. That your sins may be blotted out. There is grace, mercy, opportunity for your worst sins to be blotted out. The ESV says blotted out. Most other translations would say wiped away or wiped out. In the Greek dictionary, forgive me, this time of year. The Greek dictionary says this means to remove so as to leave no trace. To wipe it out. I am he who blots out your transgressions. This is Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. He wipes them away. Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out your transgression like a cloud and your sins like a mist. In other words, you look up, there's this cloud, and then it dissipates. The mist goes away. That happens with your sins when you repent. I love this from Colossians chapter 2. He has forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling them, same word, wiping them out. The record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. You see, when a person was crucified in the first century, they would nail above them the list of laws they had broken. They would put above them, here's the law. They stole, they murdered, whatever it was, and they're being killed. Here's why. There was a list of their laws, broken laws, nailed above them on the cross. When Jesus was crucified, they put a paper above him and it said, King of the Jews. That's why they crucified him, for treason, for saying that he was king, not Caesar, which was true. That was true. And that's why they killed him. And they put that up there to tell everyone. Paul says in Colossians 2:14 and 15, he says this in verse 14, the legal demands, what we had broken, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. That the list of sins was my list. It was your list nailed to the cross. And so it's been wiped away, wiped out. Here in Peter's sermon, he says, repent and turn back to God that your sins may be blotted out. So, I didn't want to write any specific sins on there, so I thought I would just sum it up. But this is what the list is like for the sins that we have committed, whether that's dishonoring your parents, whether that's taking the Lord's name in vain, bearing false witness, having some other God before the true God in your life. Sin, it covers us. And yet, these ones who had demanded that Jesus be crucified, Peter says, if you will repent, turn back to God, says your sins will be blotted out. Your sins will be blotted out, wiped away. And so, man, just get them all. Just get all that off of there. I got to use this board Wednesday, so I got to clean this up. Do you believe that? That is the good news. That sinners have sinned before God, but if you will turn and you will believe in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins will be wiped away. Blotted out. You can take that eraser and blot them out. Wipe them away. Wipe it out. And then look at verse 20. With that taken care of, with your sin removed because of Jesus' death on the cross for you, with your sin removed, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing, like a cool, refreshing breeze. may come from the presence of the Lord. Man, there's nothing more refreshing than the grace of God. There's nothing more refreshing. We're so grieved and burdened by our sins, and then God's grace comes and says, I will forgive you. Do you trust me? Do you believe in my Son? And we say, yes, I believe in you. And so your sins are wiped out. You're not guilty anymore. And you have this time of refreshing that will come. And he says that he may send the Christ appointed for you, for sinners. There's a Christ who's in heaven now, but he will come for you. Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things. We're starting a new year, but there's an even newer time coming when the Lord Jesus returns and everything is made new. And creation is made new, and you and I are made new. And we long for that. And he says, Jesus will be your Christ, your Messiah. He is coming back with grace for you, with refreshing to make all things new. God has spoken about this for years, for centuries in the holy prophets long ago. And God is faithful to his word. God, the God who healed this man, will one day come and heal you of all sickness, of all sorrow, of all pain, of death. He's coming back. He will establish his kingdom, and you will be in it if you believe in him, if your faith is in him. It's been a very long time, but God will restore all things in his time. And this man who was crippled is now walking and leaping as an example of Jesus' power. This man is a preview of better days coming. Only by repentance and faith in Jesus' name is there forgiveness, refreshing, and restoration. Better days are coming. So over the Christmas break, I read this book about a group of soldiers in World War II who rescued over 500 prisoners of war in the Philippines. And this is them. This is the rescuees. These were the prisoners of war. Some of them were in the Japanese prison camp for almost 3 years, where they were beaten, tortured, almost starved to death. I mean, thousands died. Thousands died. And a group of Army Rangers went on this mission to free them, all 500 of them. They could barely walk, some of them. They had to load them in carts, which were pulled by oxen, and to rescue them in January 1945. These men were thankful to be set free. They were thankful for those who cared and who went to help them. God may use your life to help rescue someone else. God will work in you by his grace. Just like he strengthened that man that couldn't walk, God will do a work in your life. He will strengthen you so that you can go and reach others. Your changed life could open the door to the gospel to a guilty person who could be saved. And I think, what a testimony that would be for God to use us to, he's got to strengthen us first. And then we go and we try to help to reach someone else. A changed life opens doors for the gospel that guilty lives may be saved. I want to be that changed life. I think you do too. Let God work in you. Clean out whatever he needs to, prune whatever he needs to in your life so that you can be an open door for the gospel and others may be saved. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the gospel. Lord, the power of Jesus' name to bring forgiveness, to wipe away our sins. Jesus paid for them all. We don't have to pay for them. We just have to believe that he is the Lord who died for us, rose again to be our Savior. And God, you change our lives for your glory and then work through us to reach others. that they may be saved, that they may grow in you, and they may reach others still. Father, we pray you would be glorified. You work in the lives of Indian River Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you